No, 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 no.
Huh? Oh, jeez.
Right. Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
Good morning, Michael.
Wait a minute. What happened? It's. How did it go on so early? Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine. How are you feeling?
I'm standing up because I just took over from Olson, who does his whole hour program standing up. I could never understand how anybody could do that.
There's a chair next to you if you're more comfortable.
Well, I probably would be, but since I'm already standing, you know, maybe I ought to try standing. So anyhow, we have an interesting gentleman here with us today, but I'll introduce him in just a little bit here. But for right now, I have to say hello to my mom.
Hi, Mike.
Mom, how are you feeling today?
Fine.
Be honest.
How come you're a little late? We talked an hour and a half ago.
Bleep happens.
It has
everything to do with traffic, I think, you know.
Oh.
It was a terrible, terrible traffic jam on Highway 1. And like a fool, I didn't listen to KSCO to be warned about it, right? So, because I was stuck talking on the telephone.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, so you're here to
until
noon. To hopefully sign a record number of books.
Yes.
And we want to shame the people who are listening into coming down to the radio station to donate any amount of money.
Because we have a special celebration because KSCO has been on the air for...
Well, on September 21st, which is how many days from now? 2 weeks or something like that,
yes.
A little less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday, I think, will be... Do we have anniversary 65 music, Rick, or happy birthday music or something?
Happy birthday music, like the Beatles?
Yeah. Hey, what's Hula the dog doing here today?
Doing a little dog sitting, I am.
Wow, she's staring right at me through the window.
She's in the chair and you're not. Roles have reversed.
Yeah, she's making me feel like good because she's a wonderful mascot here for the radio station and is definitely making me feel very comfortable, like she's a studio audience for us. But anyhow, 65th birthday.
Isn't that
is
wonderful?
Coming up.
Yeah.
Now, we've had the station for 20 3/4 of those 65 years.
Yes. But Dad and I and your siblings came here over 60 years ago.
The very weekend that KSCO was going on the air.
Exactly. It was Labor Day.
Well, September 21st, whatever that was. I don't know if they were holding Labor Day that late.
How did you know? You weren't even born.
It's part of the history books, you know, that September 21st is the day that KSCO went on the air.
Okay.
And the call letters, K is part of every call letters, but the SCO part stands for Santa Cruz's own radio station.
Oh.
And it's true, I wasn't here. I was minus 4 years old, but you were here.
Yes.
And is it true that the town was all excited and because they had their own radio station suddenly?
I
got to sit down. This is ridiculous, standing up for the whole program. How does Olson do that?
We didn't know. I know we came on Labor Day.
Oh.
And I thought that's when KSCO went on the air, but we didn't get around to listening until we settled down.
I see. Okay. Well, there you have it. So in honor of KSCO's 65th anniversary of its birth, everybody within the sound of my voice should come down and make a donation and get a copy of Kay's book that she will sign and shake your hand, and depending upon how many people are here, you might get to spend, a whole hour with Kay. Or you might get to only spend 5 minutes, right?
Right.
So, anyhow, before I let you go, did you enjoy the Democratic Convention? Because I know you were glued to the TV this last
week.
Did
I enjoy it?
Yeah.
Not especially.
Why not?
I think it was... They were pumping themselves up with lies.
Well, that's what with lies.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I'll leave you now.
All right. Well, thank you, Ma. You're going up to the front there. So come on down to 2300 Portola Drive if you want and get yourself a Kay's commentary book. And We're going to start the show officially here.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Looking for an address in my iPhone and can't find it. The music says I'm supposed to go on the air and say, welcome everybody to hour number one of Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO and KSCO.com. Worldwide. We're going to have a fun program today for the next 2 hours, so we hope you will stay with us and become a part of the program if you desire.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
You know, Rick, I've had a really good week. I have.
That's nice. We were not expecting to.
I didn't know. You never know what to think. But I had a really good week because last week during the Saturday special, when I was so nervous, I disclosed to everybody some personal information last week.
What
Remember?
Was that?
No. Well, about. Using shampoo in the shower for more than the top of my head.
I remember something about that.
Yeah, and I was concerned that could be illegal to use shampoo for other
soaping up other parts.
Well, but other parts, even where there isn't hair. In other words,
body wash.
Yeah, using it as soap. And there were people who called up during the radio program and totally put me at ease. And because I said I didn't want to be doing anything that was illegal, and there wasn't a single person who called that said that I had any reason to be concerned.
You can buy shampoo formulated for hair and body.
Is it illegal to use those?
No.
Oh no! It would probably be illegal to use those for hair.
If you don't rinse and repeat, it's illegal.
What?
If you don't rinse and repeat, that I think is illegal. That's mandatory. You have to rinse it, then do it again.
All right, well, I don't have to worry about that because I just naturally do that because I don't want to walk around with, you know, just a lathered head that's all dried and matted and everything. That's no fun. So anyhow, that's why I'm feeling really – I had a really good week because, you know, I've been looking over my shoulder for months, you know, before that just because of that. Maybe it's not such an odd practice I have. So
no, I don't think so.
So you think lots of people use shampoo to soap up the rest of their body parts?
Probably, yeah. I think a lot of
in the nice warm shower.
Yeah. Save
okay.
Money.
All right. Okay. All right. Welcome to the Saturday special. Yesterday was Friday, September 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2012. Now, what does that mean? Here in the city of Santa Cruz, it means that there is a wonderful celebration downtown called First Friday. And that means that the merchants downtown get into a particularly festive party mode. And some of them actually put out free food, you know, and special deals and so forth. And, you know, I found out about that, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago. It's been going on for years. I mean, I feel really silly that I didn't even know about it until several months ago. And since then, I said, oh, my gosh, this is so fun. I'm going to go every Friday, every first Friday of the month and enjoy it. But most of the time, I find myself unable to do that because I have a schedule conflict or I'm out of town or at KSCO North or something like that. But yesterday, I looked at the calendar, and I saw that it was indeed the first Friday of the month, and I realized that I was here in Santa Cruz, and I had no plans to go anywhere else in the evening. So I made it a point to go downtown and partake of the festivities associated with First Friday. And I went to True Olive Connection here, one of the KSCO advertisers, and they put on a big, wonderful show of hors d'oeuvres and things. And it was absolutely delicious, and of course it was packed with humans, but they were interesting characters to meet. And then I went all over the town, and I even decided to go by the city hall, where when it had become dark, there was a vigil. There was a demonstration. It was a very peaceful demonstration on the part of homeless people who are concerned for many years now that there is a sleeping ban, that there is a sleeping ban that has been put into effect by the City Council of Santa Cruz for some years. And people who are homeless, and I think there's more of them as the economy gets worse and worse, where are they supposed to sleep? And so they wanted to put on a vigil. And I think they've done this a number of times. And this was the first one that I was able to attend. And in fact, the leader thrusted a paper cup with a lit candle in it and said, "Here, join our vigil," and just carry it around. And so I did. I walked around, and there was a very talented man who was blowing on a tuba. What was it, a tuba, or is it some other kind of?
Well, I mean, it was a.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. I'll give you the.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
And so I want to welcome this very interesting gentleman. His name is Anthony Crawley.
Yeah, that's me.
Anthony, welcome to KSCO. And when you saw me, did you recognize me, or did you just see that I had a KSCO hat on?
I could sense your aura. I knew I had a suspicion that you were Michael Zwirling of KSCO, and once you opened your mouth, it dispelled all potential confusion on that point.
Wow. Okay. And so so it turns out that you're a regular listener.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of KSCO. I listen to KSCO when I wake up in the morning, and I listen to KSCO when I go to sleep at night. And I listen to KSCO in my car on the way to work. I don't even bother with any other radio station.
How cool. Well, you're our type of guy, for sure. How did that come to pass?
Well, ironically, it's kind of funny that I used to do a lot of home recording, because of the bad state of the wiring in my house, Rush Limbaugh would bleed through my recordings, and I'd be, recording some really sensitive, beautiful, music, and then I'd hear, in the background muffled going like, "The problem with the Democrats is they just got no common sense," and it just kind of, at first I just hated KSCO with a passion because of that, but then once I actually started listening and then I realized how cool it was, then it kind of grew on me.
That reminds me of the early days of ownership of KSCO back around 1991, 92. We used to get an awful lot of complaints from neighbors complaining that KSCO was bleeding through into their VCRs, into their TV sets.
It's really a problem with schizophrenics too, because it's like they're hearing these voices and they're not sure if it's their,
Well, anyhow, So one day, someone called. We had a brand new voicemail system here at KSCO. This must have been about 93 or 94. And someone called and was very, very upset about the bleed over, the interference from KSCO. Someone who lived on Alice Street, which is, one street parallel over from Portola Drive. So, I mean, it's literally within a stone's throw of the radio station.
Literally.
Yeah. And so this person, I think, lived in an apartment over there and called and left a very menacing, threatening, very, very angry message saying, if you don't fix this interference, I'm gonna blow up your transmitter.
That must have gone over great with the FBI.
Well, we took it very seriously. And he had given his address.
Is that in the dumb criminal file?
Yeah. He had given his address, and so we turned. I made a copy of the recording, and I didn't email it because the email wasn't going then. But I made a cassette copy, and called the authorities and said, "I don't know. What do you think? I mean, is this thing anything for us to be concerned?" He says, "If I were you, I'd be very, very concerned. Let me have it." And the officer took it and last thing I heard is that they went and arrested the guy and hauled him off to jail.
So that's like making a criminal threat.
Yeah, against an FCC licensed, you know, communications facility.
And the sad thing, the guy was probably just engaging in some kind of hyperbole, but it just goes to show you got to watch, you know, how you conduct yourself.
So there really isn't free speech, but that's not the kind of free speech that there should be anyhow. It's akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater, as they say.
Of course, unfortunately, that if I'm not mistaken, the ruling about the fire in a crowded theater thing literally meant if you literally yell fire in a literal theater, but it kind of is assumed this life of its own that justifies almost any kind of suppression of free speech that someone might want.
Right. Well, so when I saw you yesterday, and you have a very interesting sort of beat-up car.
Well,
and you were there. No, it's a classic. It's
under the hood. It's perfect.
Right.
It's,
okay. That's what you were saying. But it just looks really cool. I mean, it's my kind of car too. I mean, so there I was, and there you were, and I thought you were one of the homeless activists. And you explained to me, no, you're not. You own a home. But I said, so what are you there for? He said, well, I support the cause. So let's talk a little bit about that, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to say, first of all, I'm
talking to the mic, closer to the
mic. Yeah, no, I've kind of followed this issue a lot, and I'm not an activist, I'm just a concerned citizen, but I just kind of see this process where nobody's stepping in, nobody's standing up, nobody who has any pull or any kind of respect in the community seems to be noticing this, that these people are really actually getting screwed. I mean, if you figure, if you're so poor that you can't afford anywhere to live or decent food, and it starts to affect your mind, and maybe you're on something, or maybe you have mental health issues, that there's a policy where they're going out there and they're finding these people where they're staying, and they're tearing up their possessions, you know, literally grabbing blankets away from shivering women and children, and then sending them off into the night with this kind of, you know, disregard for the human cost of what's going on. And it just seems very seems like compassion would be a more appropriate response. You know, they've got this new program where they're going out and they're aggressively pursuing these people where they're hiding. I mean, you might say, okay, we don't want you stinking up the alley in front of our business or something, but then you're going out into the deeps of the woods to find their little hidey hole and then disperse them into the countryside.
Who is doing that?
I understand it's the Parks and Rec Department in cooperation with the city council and the police forces of the area.
They just want to drive them away, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, the way I look at it now, it's like I say, I'm not an activist. I'm not the person to go to about this. I'm just a concerned citizen. But it seems to me it's almost like bycatch, you know, in fishing where you say, we want to get these perch or tuna or whatever, and then you end up with all these other critters in your net, and you go, it's not economically viable to deal with them. Just let them go. And it's like that with these people. You want to get rid of the drug dealers. You want to get rid of the pimps. You want to get rid of these people. It's like, okay, great. I'm glad. Good job, cops. But then there's kind of this all-encompassing approach that is yielding a lot of maybe inadvertent cruelty. And what the problem I'm seeing with it is now my understanding of the law is that if a police officer takes something from you, first of all, they have to have a legal reason to do it. And second of all, they have to give you a receipt. I mean, if it's evidence, then it's evidence. But if they're just taking something under some kind of, you know, pretense, whatever it may be, that they're required by law to produce a receipt, and there's a procedure for all of that is the same for everyone, which is central to our way of government of equal representation. And so if you have a situation where they're kind of making it up on the fly, but they have the approval of the city fathers, so they feel empowered to maybe be a little tough or whatever, you know, like I say, I mean, since we're on the air, I don't want to make any scurrilous allegations I can't support with fact, but at the same time, anecdotally, I know, like, for example, I mean, we all know that the times are really hard for a lot of people. I mean, those of us who have made good choices, and if we work really, really hard and we keep our nose clean and we succeed, but, you know, just because somebody's basically screwed up their life, for lack of a better term, it doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean that the circumstances, you know, the judgment isn't implicit in the condition, if you'll allow. And I have a friend who's a mechanic, and he's in his car, sleeping in his car, and he got a visit from the nocturnal authorities, and they impounded his car, and it had all of his possessions in it. And you got a situation where here's this guy, he's kind of an amateur inventor, kind of squeaky, he's like drawing these, you know, diagrams, these books of inventions and things, and it just all goes away because they just seize everything and take it, and they don't keep records, and they don't bother to preserve it, and, you know, family pictures and, you know, notebooks and all these things. And if somebody was presumed to have some value as a human being, you would think that there would be a procedure by which there would be some preservation, or there'd be some proportional kind of thing where they'd say, well, because of the heinousness of your crime, this and that. But for someone to just be sleeping in their car due to poverty, and then to have their notebooks containing their drawings and inventions and ideas to just basically not be maliciously destroyed necessarily, but
possibly,
but just sometimes, more out of a kind of a general contempt, maybe kind of a mindset that kind of gets you to a point where you see enough, you know, people that don't know how to tie their shoes, and you just get to where you kind of have this attitude about it, and then people kind of get swept up into it, and we forget, well, hey, you know, these people aren't necessarily destitute because they're bad people, and even if they were, that's not a legal method. You don't destroy somebody's life because you feel that their lifestyle is inappropriate or something, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Anthony, hold that thought for a little bit here. We're sort of jumping around a lot here, and the reason I asked you to come down here is because, first of all, I find you're an absolutely fascinating person, very interesting and very articulate.
If you only knew.
but we had planned to break a story today with a couple of people here who know about that story. And it involves the Santa Cruz County Fair, which is coming up this next Tuesday. In fact, KSCO will be broadcasting live from the fairgrounds.
I'm going.
Tuesday through Friday. And there's a possibility that, depending upon what happens, that I might be doing the Saturday special, this program, live from the fairgrounds. We'll figure that one out later on. But we wanted to break a story. It's a very disturbing story. People who listen to KSCO a lot will know that earlier this year, and I think even into last year, if I'm not mistaken, but certainly earlier this year, a cause célèb that the radio station has really gotten behind in a big way is the preservation of the Santa Cruz County Fair.
Sure.
Okay.
Randy Repass and those guys are trying to acquire the land for development purposes, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that we don't know that to be the case. It seems that that could be the case, but all we know for sure is that there are a group of neighbors. There were a group of neighbors who were trying to get the fair to cut back, curtail its noise and its services and its fair-like activities for that go on all year long. It's not just during the county fair, in the name of keeping their sanity here in the neighborhood, because they happen to live by, you know, it's the classic thing about people. The airport was there first.
Exactly. You know, the land next to the dump was cheap, so you bought it because you could afford it. And then you want them to stop dumping.
You want the dump to go away and so forth. So anyhow, KSCO came out very, very strongly in favor of the fair and preserving the fair. And we put the word out that people, if they think the fair is important, and just about everybody does, then they really got to let their voices be known and let these people know that what they're doing is not very nice at all by filing lawsuits against the already financially strapped county fair. Yeah. Well, it's my understanding that a number of those that the lawsuit progressed and was basically it was emasculated. I mean, somehow it was proven to be not, it just wasn't going anywhere.
It was meritless.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, although I can't talk about that. The person I asked to call, John Prentice, who's the owner of Ocean Speedway, which uses the fairgrounds, is on the line now, and he knows, what?
Oh, nothing.
He knows about something that has just happened here. So apparently they're back and filed a new suit. Is that what's going on here, John?
Basically what they did is the suit is always, it's the same suit. A lot of people got confused. They had the rodeo lawsuit, which was a separate from there basically was two lawsuits. And they lost the rodeo lawsuit, but this lawsuit involving the racetrack is still always been going. It was what they call a stay, so it was kind of just put on the back burner a little bit. But it's, you know, it's
well,
been
wasn't there like a major setback where they actually lost, you know, a major part of the lawsuit? I remember that being a news story.
You know, I don't have a lot of information other than I know that they did lose the lawsuit regarding the rodeo, which allowed the fairgrounds to hold a rodeo if they chose to do so. So they were trying to stop the rodeo, and that case did get heard in Sacramento, and they ended up losing that case.
Right. Okay, well, what can you tell us about, I believe there was something, a new suit filed because service was made, according to my understanding,
to
members of the fair board, which you are not, but you are associated, and I guess because you're not a member of the fair board, you're willing to speak a little bit. I guess the people in the fair board are a little nervous about speaking about for anything that's under litigation.
It's the classic case that happens in many lawsuits where they're trying to take another bite of the apple, so to speak. You know, the old, if you throw enough stuff on the wall, you know, maybe something will stick.
Yeah.
And so they amended their complaint and basically threw in a whole bunch of lies without even ever calling and making my legal counsel aware of, one, that they were going to amend the complaint and add all this these lies into the complaint.
Wait a minute. Are you you must be named separately in the lawsuit, the Ocean Speedway, which is a separate business.
Yes.
And the Santa Cruz County Fair Board, I assume, is also named in the suit, yes?
I think there was a total of like four entities named in
okay.
the law, us being one of them.
And you were served with this new action this week, and did that surprise you?
With Max Kelly, I'm really not surprised. So I really wasn't surprised. I'm not surprised by any of this. You know, it just doesn't surprise
me. Okay, Max is a neighbor who, I guess, is he the person who initiated the action? Wait, and Max has been a guest on this program.
Max Kelly is pretty much it's pretty much a Max Kelly lawsuit, my feeling, and he hides behind, you know, the he's representing neighbors, but it really is Max Kelly. I mean, in all intents and purposes, it should be the Max Kelly lawsuit.
Okay.
He tries to hide behind the, you know, CAFA against fairground activities or whatever their acronym is. But it really is Max Kelly.
Okay.
So they amended their complaint. They filled it with a whole bunch of lies that they kind of extrapolated from a lawsuit of other racetracks that got closed down. So they're trying to kind of mimic those lawsuits with the hopes of you know, shutting down another revenue source into the fairgrounds, which would then, at that point, you know, financially strap them even more than they already are.
Right. Okay. Well, geez. So it hasn't gone away, and
it's never gone away. I think that they try to kind of because the public, and you guys have done a great job putting this out to the public. You know, they felt a little bit of the outcry from the public, and so they kind of suppress it a little bit, and you know, with the rodeo lawsuit being settled, I think a lot of people think that this thing went away, but it really did never go away.
Right.
I
have in my iPhone here Max Kelly's presumably cell phone number. It says mobile here. So I want to take a break and see if we can get him on the line and keep you on the line. Maybe we can have a little discussion on the radio. Are you into that?
Sure.
All right, stand by here. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ with a Saturday special. John Prentice is a phone guest here, and he is the owner of Ocean Speedway, which utilizes the property at the Santa Cruz County Fair, which is in danger of being closed because of a lawsuit that it's not the stated purpose of the lawsuit to close the fair. I mean, I don't think anybody would want to do that. And if someone did want to do that, I think they'd be pretty stupid to say it. You know?
Unpopular.
But anyhow, we're going to take a commercial break here. And when we come back, we're going to try to get person that John has referred to as the plaintiff on the line here. We might not be able to because this is just sort of unfolding, you know, as it happens here. So I'm going to leave a message here. I'm going to give the phone number to Rick. But so stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and KSCO Land World via KSCO.com. We will be back right after this commercial break.
Attention job seekers. RDO Equipment Company, the nation's largest John Deere dealer network, will host a hiring open house event with on-site interviews at our Salinas store this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. We are hiring service technicians and a variety of other positions for our various California locations. Please bring an updated resume this Saturday to RDO Equipment Company at 501 El Camino Real South, Salinas. RDO Equipment Company offers competitive wages, profit sharing, and benefits. For more information, go to RDOEquipment.com.
Food with its farmer's face on it. Hello, Michael Olson here. One of the best things you can do for yourself, your family, and your community is to eat locally grown food. And one of the best places to find that food is at a Monterey Bay Certified Farmer's Market. Certified means the farmer who sells the food is the farmer who grew the food. Listen.
September is for peppers at the markets and figs, peaches, grapes, apricots, almonds, mushrooms, fresh chickens, baby lettuce, cantaloupes, sweet corn, cucumbers, strawberries, sunflowers, dry farm tomatoes, watermelon, and much, much more.
To market, to the Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market for food with its farmer's face on it. Tuesday 9 to 1 at the Barnyard Center in Carmel, Friday 10 to 2 at Monterey Peninsula College, Saturday 8 to noon at Cabrillo College in Aptos, and Sunday 8 to noon at the Del Monte Center in Monterey. See you at the market.
Eat, Drink, Explore Radio is your lifestyle information source. Our focus includes food, wine, craft beer, travel and tourism trends, emphasizing healthy, local, and sustainable options. We've got you covered from 8 to 10 each and every Sunday morning, live, right here on KSCO AM 1080. Eat, Drink, Explore Radio, your source for the lifestyle you love.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Issues and entertainment. That's AM 1080, KSCO.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz.
We've got a transmitter, and we're not afraid to use it.
News Talk 1080, KSCO.
Okay, we're back. I've been running back and forth between the studios here, and we had Max Kelly on the line, and he agreed to come on and talk with John. Are you there, John?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and so, but he was on a cell phone, so we might have dropped it. Rick is trying to make a connection again here, so.
And if I could just take a second, I just want to clear a couple points that I made earlier before the break. The only reason why I'm calling this that it's driven by Max Kelly is because he's the only one I see routinely at these meetings.
Uh-huh.
I don't see any other neighbors at the meetings. I only see Max Kelly, and I know that he was the initial one complaining. And it's just ironic that they're about the neighborhood and making sure the neighbors have a voice, but then I find it ironic that his house is on the market. You know, he's trying to move out of the neighborhood.
Well, maybe that could be because, you know, if he can't, that plan B or something, I don't know.
in our position, and just, and that's my main reason for getting on here, is really just to let, you know, them know maybe this is another way for them, is our position has always been and always will continue to be, is we want to resolve this. We want to resolve it. We want to work with the fair management. We want to work with Max Kelly and his group, and to come to some kind of reasonable conclusion to make this go away so everybody can stop spending money on attorneys.
Yeah. Well, and the belief here, the strong belief is that the fair doesn't have the money to do that.
And right.
Who knows about, you know, how deep the pockets are of Max or the other people that he's involved with. And just from my recollection, there were quite a number of people who, not quite a number, but at least half a dozen other people that I think were part of this CAFA group back when it seemed to be, gathering some momentum. And then it's my understanding that there was this huge swelling of public sentiment against what they were doing, and I think that, together with the lawsuit, one of the lawsuits actually being lost, the one involving the rodeo, that made the whole thing sort of go away and become a non-issue.
Right.
But it's back again, and it's back right before the 2012 Santa Cruz County Fair is about to begin.
Right.
What a pall and a damper to drop on something. Anyhow, so Rick, what's the latest here with our man here, Max here?
Max was on the line.
Uh-huh.
Dropped off, and calls to him have gone unanswered in the last few minutes.
Okay. Well, maybe he had second thoughts about going on with us. I don't know. Who knows? But anyhow, we're inviting him to come on now, and so without him on, John's going to get all the time for his side, I guess. So anyhow, John. So. Yeah, it's a shame. So they want to close down. They don't want to close down the fair, but they want to close down like Ocean Speedway during the rest of the year or something. Is that what's happening here?
You know, what they say in their actions are two different things. I mean, they say they don't want to close down the fairgrounds, but on the other hand, I just don't understand why they don't want to sit at a table and just resolve this. We're very open to resolving this. We've made it clear that we want to resolve this. So I'm just a little hurt why we can't all sit down and make this thing go away.
Well, let's two of us sit down anyhow, because Max has called back here on our VIP line here. So, Max Kelly, welcome back to KSCO.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing? surprise, right? We had.
Yeah, I was just in the car. I couldn't get back to you right away. I just got out of the car.
Oh, well, that's cool. We were thinking maybe you had second thoughts, but I think it's really good to have a nice, calm discussion here. Among the two main people here involved in this conflict here, so why not take advantage of the real time nature of talk radio here? So John Prentice is with Ocean Speedway. I'm sure you know John and Max Kelly. I'm sure you know John and John Prentice. I'm sure you know Max Kelly. So, hey, so Max, what's the deal? So you've What have you done with the lawsuit that we thought was all gone, so it became a non-news entity, a non-news item?
I'm not sure what you mean. There was you're not referring to that other lawsuit, are you? Is that?
Well, yeah, you know, we had you on, and we had some of the other people on to discuss this. I can't even remember. Was it this year? Maybe it was even last year. It was so long ago, I can't even remember exactly when it was.
Right. No, we've stayed the lawsuit. I believe, I can't remember exactly when, but it's the lawsuit has been on stay. We stated it first at the beginning of the year, I believe, for 6 months to give the parties a chance to figure out what's going on. The fairgrounds has new management.
All right.
A number of the board members for the fairgrounds, including the manager, left. The manager left the end of last year. Three other board members either resigned or were not reappointed. So now the board is down to six members out of nine, and
so you haven't filed a new lawsuit. You've reinstated the old one, basically. Yes.
Well, no. It's not reinstated. The old one is still there, but it's been put on hold to give the fairgrounds management a chance, the interim management a chance to catch up. The interim management is completely voluntary, as you might know. I don't know, maybe you don't. It's completely voluntary, and it's made up of some folks that have been on the board or otherwise involved with the fairgrounds for in the past.
Okay. Well, Max, let me sort of bring people up, help you help me bring people up to date about what happened. You live in a house that is pretty close to the fairgrounds. And over the years, the increasing noise and increasing activity at the fair, not just the 1 week of county fair activities, but, you know, the Friday night, you know, auto races from John's company, Ocean Speedway, and others have gotten to be progressively more disturbing to you and some other neighbors. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, I think that's fairly accurate.
Okay. You've tried to work with the board of directors of the fair to mitigate the noise and the disturbance, right?
Right.
And as of the last time we talked about this on the radio, you guys were sort of at an impasse with each other. And I was saying, I think the last time we even talked about this on the Saturday special, I think we had Randy Repass on, who's in with your group and is also a neighbor there and is a very prominent Santa Cruz-based business person, owner of West Marine Products, which is a very, very large national and international company. And we had a really nice discussion with Randy, during which I let him know I'd love to have KSCO act as a catalyst to bring you guys together so that you can both sort of solve your problems and walk away from the table with big smiles on your faces without having to pay lawyers and have the county fair use up all of its funds and have to go out of business itself and so forth. That's the last thing I remember. And we never were asked to do anything more after that. Yesterday, I learned that there is some new action, and I'm a little confused about what that new action is. So maybe you can fill me in on that.
There's a supplemental, just a supplemental paragraph put into the current lawsuit that just expands a little bit on some of the CEQA issues that we have concerns about.
CEQA is California Environmental Quality Act.
Act, right.
Yeah. Okay, and you and the neighbors are hanging your hats on CEQA laws that you believe are being violated by the county fair. And for that reason, they are to cease and desist or else, I guess, right?
Well, no. Well, you know, you got to realize that our environmental concerns are, we're hanging our hat on the idea that the fairgrounds needs to communicate with the community, nearby and at large, when it chooses to change its operations that may or may not affect the community. So it's not that we're saying, look, either do this or die. We're saying, hey, look, you really need to be a good neighbor. The fairgrounds needs to be a good neighbor, and whoever operates over there needs to be a good neighbor, and keep the community in mind when they want to change things or, expand events or do that kind of thing. A lot of events that can be put in would have a negative effect on the environment and the people in the surrounding not just the people but also the air and the water.
Did I hear John wanting to say something?
Well, I just wanted to clarify so exactly what they did do, because I think it's a little more than that. So what they did is they had in a complaint, they amended that a complaint. Basically, they went in and added a whole bunch of untruths to the complaint, which were CEQA violations. So what they're trying to say is that the racetrack went in and did some stuff that violated CEQA, when what we did is we went in and did our annual maintenance. Race cars race. They get mud on their cars. They go into the pit area, the mud falls off their car, we put it back on the racetrack. It's pretty simple. And so what they did is they're trying to take another bite of the apple and hang their hat on the CEQA and say that we violated it because of our annual maintenance is somehow a violation. That's what they did, and it's more than a paragraph. It's more than a paragraph. I think that it's getting downplayed. And all we asked was the courtesy for their attorney to call our attorneys, who know each other. They probably have each other's phone numbers memorized, and say, hey, is there any truth to this? And try to save some fees, because they would have found out that there was no truth to it. Everything they put in there was a whole bunch of lies, and it's that simple. There's nothing more to it. They just want another bite at the apple. It's that simple.
Well, you know, the truth is that's a bunch of hogwash. John told me that he had lowered the track in person. And as a matter of fact, a couple of board members were there when he said as much. They lowered the track and took that dirt and piled it up at the outside corners, you know, which can affect and has affected, from our measurements, the sound profile across the countryside.
If that was the case, all they had to do was ask.
We have John
documentation to show
on tape.
The infield's the infield. There's an
infield. Wait. One at a time, guys. Go ahead, John. Finish up, and then let Max talk.
Infield's level. You know, you couldn't have dug it down. Not furthermore, the water lines and electrical lines are within inches of the racing surface. So you would have, it's a lot more in depth to do what they're trying to claim we did. You would have had a lot of people out there moving water lines, moving electrical lines, and furthermore, where'd all the dirt go? And who moved the dirt? They don't explain all that. They throw in these little digs with no foundation, no evidence at all, and all they're trying to do is eat up more legal fees because they have deep pockets to fund this, and that's what they're doing. It's a very simple, it's a very classic case of litigation.
Okay, now, Max, you go.
Okay, can I do it without being interrupted?
Yes.
Thank you. Like I tried to say, John is apparently lying. We have him actually on tape saying that he lowered the track, that he ran into electrical lines. The water lines, he said he didn't run into water lines, which is understandable because they're at least 6 feet deep. But by lowering the track 2 or 3 feet, which he said, on tape, we have that on tape, and he did run into electric lines, he said he did, and obviously they had to correct that. I don't know how they did it, either rerouted them or whatever, but that dirt then got put on the outside ends of the racetrack. So you see big slopes, they had to change the exit ramp because, you know, they couldn't drive over that berm anymore, it's too steep. So that's where the dirt went. And we have photographs and quotes and all kinds of stuff, including satellite images that prove this. Now, this is not to say that this is a giant deal. We're not trying to make any more of an issue than we already have. The point is that things are being done that we feel are significantly changing the environmental landscape of the fairgrounds, specifically in the racetrack area. And this has to do with that supplemental that went into the lawsuit. So it has to do with some changes that have been done that we think are above and beyond the allowable changes that are in the contract and that are allowable under environmental laws. So we as a community, we think should have a say in some of this stuff and how it's done and when it affects, and if it's going to affect or possibly affect the community, there needs to be a study done and to figure out, you know, how potential problems can be mitigated.
Max, what would you hope would happen? What would you hope John and the fair would do to make you happy?
Well, I think we can work towards mitigating some of the problems. And as far as the speedway goes, the main thing is the noise. And there are people now that are complaining that I haven't heard from before that are 5, 6, 7 miles away And some people that are closer hear a little bit less noise. People further away hear more. So I think this noise thing can still be mitigated. You know, there are tracks that stop their races at 10 o'clock. There are tracks that have lower decibel limits, especially those that are, you know, in neighborhood areas. So I think this all can be mitigated. And I think as far as the fairgrounds goes, they are working towards determining a noise policy that is basically oriented towards all events at the fairgrounds. So I think we can sit down and work some of this stuff out. You know, I'm not worried about being called a liar and that kind of stuff, because this is all factual information. So, you know, this will all come out, you know.
Okay, John Prentice, you got any problem with what Max said? It sounds like it's a little conciliatory, like you guys can sit down and work something out. What do you think?
The conversation, basically, as Max Kelly brought it up, is he thought that by lowering the racetrack, one of our conversations would make less sound, because if you got it lower into the dirt, make less sound. Yeah, that conversation occurred, but it never happened. And we've offered up the gentleman who does our annual maintenance, we've offered him up for either side attorneys, the state, whoever wants to talk to him, to call him up and ask him exactly what he did and didn't do. And that hasn't taken place. So, yes, did the conversation occur? Sure, I'm sure it probably did occur because it was Max Kelly's idea. But in the middle of a lawsuit, the last thing my legal counsel is going to allow me to do is start moving material. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I hope Max Kelly is sincere. I would love to sit down. Like I said, we've always been wanting
to. So why don't you guys set a date and time right now?
I'm tomorrow.
I'm actually up to it. You can come to a neutral place, KSCO.
I'm open. Anytime Max Kelly wants to sit down and talk about issues that we can try to resolve, I'm ready to do it.
Let me just, can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. Now, here's the plan, Mike and John. We do have a plan in place, and our lawyers are talking to each other. It's more our lawyers talking to the AG, because the AG are the ones that actually represent the fairgrounds. But there's still some discussion.
When you say AG, like Attorney General?
I'm sorry, Attorney General. I said it should have been.
But Max Kelly, is there any way that you know? I mean, I'm sure we would have an influence on what the fair management does.
Yeah, why don't you just cut the lawyers out of it and cut all the, because everybody has to spend money.
I agree. Let's just sit down and try to resolve this and give it to them on a plate and say, here's what we came up with. See what you can do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason we can't sit down and
that sounds very reasonable to me.
And just try to, maybe we're not that far away. Maybe what you have in mind and what I have in mind are pretty close. Let's just sit down and talk about it. And if we don't agree, we don't agree and we walk away. But it wouldn't hurt.
And then go back to the lawyers if you need to.
Can I finish what I had to say?
Yeah, sure. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Here's the plan. And we did try to do this already in ad hoc meetings that were led by the new interim management, mainly Dave Cagabine of the fairgrounds. Great fella, and we did try to work these things out. We pretty much ran into a stalemate, specifically regarding some of the things that we were trying to get from the Speedway. But here's the plan. Here's the current plan. We're trying to set up a schedule with all interested parties, and it'll probably be mitigated by, you know, there'll probably be lawyers present just to make sure that we don't, you know, get out of bounds regarding the law and what we can do and what we can't do. But the plan is to actually.
I think we're going to have to hold you over till after the news. Sorry, because we got that coming up in about 10 seconds here.
The plan is to come up with this, to schedule. fabulous meeting sometime in October.
Great. Okay. Let us know what we can do to help. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. We'll be back in 6 minutes.
I'm Jim Taylor. Presidential politics, Mitt Romney campaigning in one battleground state, Virginia, Mr. Obama in another.
I'm Peter Mayer in St. Petersburg, Florida. The race here in Florida could hinge on the votes of thousands of seniors here. The two campaigns are battling it out over the future of Medicare and health care reform.
I like the term Obamacare. Mr. Romney says he's going to repeal it, which means his plan is Romney don't care.
President Obama at a boisterous rally, starting a two-day bus tour in this 29 electoral vote prize. Peter Mayer, CBS News, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Delivering the GOP media address this weekend, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso.
More presidential rhetoric and a plea for more time won't heal our economy. A healthy economy comes from a growing private sector.
Does the Pentagon waste money? Fiscal conservative Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma compiling a report that finds a lot of money spent on some pretty unbelievable things, like the workshop about Star Trek aliens titled Did Jesus Die for Klingons Too? CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports.
The Pentagon funds microbreweries and on-base liquor stores in the U.S. There's one in Detroit that advertises wine tastings and alcohol for parties. Your military tax dollars also pay to remove skunks from base golf courses. There are a lot of expenses in there that Senator Tom Coburn is raising questions about and saying this should be cut, and it can be cut painlessly without compromising national security.
National Weather Service confirms it was a tornado that struck beachfront neighborhoods in New York City today. CBS reporter Monica Miller in the appropriately named Breezy Point.
I just spoke to a neighbor, Joan. She said that she was actually coming home from the gym. She was in her car, and she saw this tornado rip down the street, something like you saw in The Wizard of Oz. It literally picked up two parked cars and smashed them into one another.
Videos taken by bystanders show the funnel cloud hurling sand and debris in the air as it moves through the Rockaway Peninsula in Queens. Fire department says there are power lines down, possibly some other damage. Wild weather postponing tonight's scheduled women's final at the U.S. Open. Serena Williams and number one ranked Victoria Azarenka now scheduled to play tomorrow. Williams looking forward to the match whenever it is.
This year I'm physically better. I'm more confident, playing more matches, winning. I have Wimbledon under my belt. It's always fun to win that one, so it's cool.
Men's semifinals starting more than an hour late today because of all the rain. London's summer in the international sports spotlight ends tomorrow. Coldplay headlines a Paralympic closing ceremony that aims to recreate the feel of festivals throughout British history. They'll collaborate with others in the Olympic Stadium ceremony, drawing on, among other things, traditions from Stonehenge.
The world sees it rise when I gave the word.
It'll take place in the 80,000-seat Olympic Stadium. This is CBS News.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Hey, Fred, where you at?
Oh, hi, Eddie. Fred's inside doing the breakfast dishes for me.
Really? How'd you manage that?
I told him I'd take the car and get it serviced. Say, you got a recommendation where to go?
Parts Plus Car Care Center. Good people, good service. I've told Fred, but he never listens.
Well, I'm listening. Just tell me how to get there.
Okay, but don't tell Fred you heard it from me.
Oh, I'll just tell him. I heard about him on the radio. Now, about those directions.
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
A bunch of very personal Elvis Presley memorabilia on the auction block in England, some of it fetching high prices, some not.
The star of the Elvis auction was, as expected, his personal King James annotated Bible with handwritten thoughts.
Born in the heat of the desert.
Bidding reached $80,000 when the gavel came down. Lots of Lots sold for less. A framed strand of the king's hair went for $800. And a pair of his unwashed underwear, well...
The picture explains it all. I won't go into any
detail. The underwear hit $8,000 but failed to meet the reserve price, so it didn't sell.
Return the sender.
Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A Michigan car dealership owner will turn over his business to new owners later this month, but something he had to do first, Howard Cooper giving all 89 employees $1,000 for every year they worked at the Howard Cooper Import Center in Ann Arbor. 83-year-old says he just wanted to thank them and hopes it makes a difference in their lives. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
11:05 on this Saturday morning, September the 8th. Good morning, I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic update on KSCO. Some pockets of slow traffic on Highway 1 northbound out of Watsonville. Had some road work taking place between Buena Vista and Freedom. That slowed traffic down earlier this morning. Southbound Highway 1 off of the Fishhook is slow between Morrissey and Soquel Drive. Not a bad commute over Highway 17. South 17, a little bit slow at the 85 interchange. Not a lot to write home about there. In the Santa Cruz Mountains, Glen Arbor Road at Highway 9 had the diesel fuel service truck that lost some debris in the road. The vehicle's on the right-hand shoulder. Your forecast today, plenty of sun. High temperatures today will be in the upper 60s and 70s at the oceans, middle to upper 80s inland. Before hour two of the Saturday special can resume, we start this hour with the latest from Kay's Whirling.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
I just read a publication from the California Coalition for Immigration Reform listing 15 reasons spelling out why Obamacare, if implemented, will destroy our beloved U.S. as we know it. I will share the information with you in this and the next commentary. Please remember, Obamacare will probably go away if Obama loses this election. With a 5-4 decision to uphold Obamacare, America is now headed for a complete and total disaster as it is fully implemented. Obamacare is going to absolutely flood and shred the infrastructure of our medical system, send health insurance premiums soaring, dramatically expand the size and scope of government, fundamentally alter relationships between doctors and their patients, and is one of the largest tax increases in U.S. history. It's also going to add about $1 trillion, with a T, to our national debt over the next decade. Here is the beginning of the 15 reasons why Obamacare is a disaster. Number one. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, the federal government has the power to force you to buy private goods and services. Now, if this bill has been opened, what else will we be forced to buy in the future? Number two, Obamacare is another step away from individual liberty and another step toward a nanny state where the government dominates our lives from the cradle to the grave. Number three, the IRS is now going to be given the task of hunting down and penalizing millions of Americans who do not have any health insurance. The Obama administration has given the IRS an extra $500 million outside of the normal appropriations process to help them enforce the provisions of Obamacare. Number four, Obamacare imposes more than 20 new taxes on the American people. Google Americans for Tax Reform for details. And five, to control costs and promote efficiency, Obamacare limits the treatment options that doctors and patients can consider. This will result in a decrease in life expectancy in the United States. Listeners, I will hopefully continue this commentary next week with the next 10 reasons why we must defeat Obamacare. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Okay, I guess that takes us into the official beginning of hour number two of the Saturday special. So let's hear that familiar telephone ringing jingle.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
All right. Saturday special is proudly brought to you by the California Grill Restaurant under new ownership.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The California Grill Restaurant is located at the corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard in Freedom, at the Freedom Shopping Center. And it's a wonderful, wonderful restaurant that has a lot of the menu from the old Adolph's restaurant, plus a whole lot more has been added. Paul Tarabi has sold to Dick Pisciotto, and I've been out there a couple times, and it's every bit as good and in some ways better, and it's a wonderful, wonderful restaurant. And the best thing about the California Grill is that they sponsor the Saturday special. So besides the fact that their portions are incredibly large and the food is really, really good and made from the freshest ingredients. In fact, Dick is also the owner of Lakeside Organics, which is a organic farming operation located not too far away from the California Grill Restaurant down on Holohan Road, I believe. In any case, go into the California Grill and try their breakfast, their lunch, their dinner. They're open 7 days a week from early morning. I think it's 7 or 7:30 until about 8:30 or so every day of the week. And be sure to tell them MZ sent you, and be sure to thank them for sponsoring the Saturday special. Now then, backing up to the tail end of last hour here on the Saturday special, Max Kelly and John Prentice are gone, but I didn't get a chance to speak with John afterwards. I was going to pick up the phone, and he disconnected, so I guess he was on to other things here. But from Max, he told me that he is very interested in coming to a suitable settlement agreement that would make everybody happy, hopefully by October, I think he said. So we'll just leave it at that. We'll be following the ongoing drama. And, of course, we will be broadcasting the Happy Hour program here on KSCO with Charlie and Dave. Charlie will be at the fairgrounds, and Dave, as usual, we'll be stuck here, cooped up at KSCO during that during those broadcasts next week. Okay, if you want to give us a call, we're going to just sort of have a fun time for the next hour. It's going to be pretty much an open mic. You can call us and talk about just about anything you want. But I want to bring our in studio guest back, Anthony. Yeah. John is back here. Well, we'll just finish up with John here real quick, because he probably thought that we were gonna. John, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk with both of you. I think we pretty much wrapped up what we're gonna accomplish at this point here on the radio. Continue to offer KSCO as a place for you guys to work out differences. Everybody, I think, wants the fair to continue. Everybody wants the race, the speedway, to continue. And let's see if we can be a catalyst in solving the dispute.
Well, and thank you so much for taking the time to put this on the air. And what people can do, if they want the community, what they can do is just support the fair, which is going to start next week, Tuesday, by supporting the fair. That will really help the fairgrounds.
Absolutely. And my question to you is, normally Ocean Speedway does its thing on Friday nights, right?
Correct.
Okay. During the fair, will there be any other activities at the Speedway?
Yeah, we're going to, this year we'll be racing on Friday and Saturday night from 4 to 7, both nights. And with your admittance into your fair ticket into the fair, you'll get free grandstand tickets to watch the races.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah.
So come out and take a look. We think we have a great venue plan for the 3-hour window that we'll be running both nights, and you'll get to see, you know, enjoy the great food of the fair and go on some of the rides and watch the races.
I have been told, John, that I have been missing the boat personally, because I've never had the experience of visiting the Ocean Speedway, and it's sort of a crazy thing that all these years have gone by and it's gotten past me. So
that is crazy.
I know. It's as bad as my not having ridden. I don't even know how to talk. The Giant Dipper at the boardwalk.
Oh, that we have in common.
Really? You haven't either? But you were you born and raised in Santa Cruz like I was?
Was, but I can tell you that I have been at the racetrack before.
Ah, okay. I'm sure. That's great. Well, they say that once you do it, you get hooked. So
I think so. I think, and we hope. I just have to shout out real quick. Last night we had Girl Scout night at the racetrack, and we had 110 people there attend Girl Scout nights. So hopefully we're going to have an abundance in the future here of girl race car drivers.
What's the total capacity in the grandstand there? How many spectators can you accommodate at Ocean Speedway?
We measured, if you take up 18 inches when you sit down, it's about 2,300 seats.
Ooh, okay. And have you ever come close to capacity?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes.
That's a sort of a dumb question. I should have realized that. Anyhow, so...
You've never been there, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that's going to change real quick. John Prentice, thanks very much for calling, keeping us posted on what's happening at the fair. Happy you and Max were able to engage in a civil discussion here on the radio.
I hope that he takes me up on my offer and we can get together and save some attorney fees.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. Okay, thanks, John Prentice. You take care, okay? Have a good one. All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes John. And so now we're back to Anthony. And
I just was admiring and marveling at that process I just witnessed, where these guys, both two sides, come in and no lawyers, no judges, just let's talk about it. That's just amazing.
Well, if we can move it in that direction, that would be really nice.
I mean, I think you really had a good point about the fair. Everybody loves the fair. You know, it's one of those perfect example of something that, you know, in this world where we monetize everything and you assign a number value to every process, you know, this is something that has a tremendous amount of human value that may not show up on the logbook, you know.
Right.
I mean, how much is it worth for a kid to know how, you know, where the milk comes from, or to have the process of just getting it, you know?
I think it's worth a lot.
I would agree completely.
But how much?
$114,062. Oh, wait.
That's pretty close. That's about what I was thinking.
Well, I'll have to call my accountant.
So, okay. So you started to tell me how you became acquainted with KSCO. It was through interference.
Oh, well, just it was just kind of a funny thing. I was in a home recording and you know, and I always would hear Rush kind of, you know, crabbing away on the background every time I do everything, and it started to be a thing where I started to be able to just channel Rush, because I didn't agree with him, but I heard him so much in the background kind of yammering away that I pretty much at any given time could just be, you know, in my brain just kind of become Rush for a couple seconds. And
wow,
you know,
can you still do that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not something KSCO, I think your wiring is a lot better now, so I'm kind of out of practice. But it's basically, you got, it's kind of like, the problem with the Democrats, they just don't have any common sense. You know, like, that's basically it.
Jeez. Well, anyhow,
nothing
so
you can't blame the Democrats.
You, so what was it that got you to tune in actively, to actually tune in to the radio station rather than sort of be forced to listen to it?
I think
your will.
The coast to coast, because I'd be coming home late at night, and it was just so much more entertaining than anything else that was on any of the other channels, that it just got hooked on that, not even knowing what station it was. It was kind of a pleasant surprise to find out that the station that had this interesting program on happened to be the one that was right by my house.
You know? I see.
And then once you got Alex Jones, I mean, forget about it. I'm hooked, you know.
So tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I'm somebody who bumped into him when he was still just this kind of crazy guy in Texas, and I came across him just because I was just so amazed when he was such a pure, I mean, you know, agree or disagree, love him or hate him, but he's such a force, and he's such a kind of a pure example of what he is. That
passionate,
yeah, the passion, and the fact that he's uncompromising in his views, and I always you know, not to sound, you know, like extreme or anything, but I really kind of appreciated how he said, never give up your guns. You know, it's like, you know, who has the guts to say that? You know, I mean, it's, you know, not to say you'd ever want to hurt anybody, but I mean, it's a gutsy position to take in this time.
Is there anybody like out, is there anybody else out there in the KSCO listening audience that would be moved to say, never give up your guns?
I mean, come on, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but wait a second. No, I'm serious. I want people to call, if there's anybody out there who would not have the guts to say, never give up your guns, I want that person to call 479-1080 right now and join the program. That's area 831, in case you're listening outside. We got a huge audience on the internet that's growing, you know,
every
day. And why do, how does that happen? Well, people tell each other. The radio station is an unique radio station.
Well, the thing is that there's a real zeitgeist out there. I think a lot of people may not even be able to fully formulate the thought yet, but there's just this perception that the whole thing is just completely disconnected from us, that all these different processes, I mean, because, you know, you go to school and you learn about, you know, George Washington, you know, chopping down the cherry tree, whatever, and over time, you know, we're just kind of given this reality check that, well, actually, in the real world, nobody cares and you can't change anything. That's kind of it's not true, but it's kind of the mantra. And it's, I think people, when there's something like KSCO that's so purely, you know, people powered, that I think people get inspired because it starts to kind of affect them to say, wow, maybe there is a way to get there from here. You know, let's take a couple of steps and see how it feels. And KSCO is something that creates that environment in which people can feel like, well, maybe somebody is listening, you know, maybe somebody does care.
Well,
you
know? The latest edition that just came out hot off the press yesterday, Connection Magazine, Healthy Living and Conscious Lifestyles. Across the front cover, there's a banner that says, Happy 65th Birthday to KSCO AM 1080. And we have a full page back cover blurb about KSCO that said, KSCO News Talk AM 1080 is one of the last remaining independent radio voices in the USA.
It was locally
owned and operated by the Zwirling family and is truly a voice for everyone. We produce at least 11 hours each weekday of local listener call-in programming, plus even more original content on the weekends. Tune in to AM 1080 KSCO or listen online at KSCO.com and be amazed at what you have been missing. Also, call in and speak your mind to our enormous 10,000-watt radio and internet audience. Call 831-479-1080. New callers always wanted. Comments and suggestions encouraged. Email me,
sure.
MZ,
and
at KSCO.
KSCO is possibly completely unique in the world when you think about the ratio of the number of ears that will be listening at any given moment, and you compare that to the relative lack of bureaucracy and the lack of editorial bias. You know, I mean, I'd like to think
that. Now, say that again. I'm a little slow.
Okay, now, well, you think about how in the world, you know, you'll have a lot of programs. You know, you could have Glenn Beck or you could have, you know, I'll just pick a random example, whatever. And there's always kind of this thing of where there's lots of layers where, like, you know, if you're, what you're saying doesn't fit with the editorial agenda of the station or Clear Channel or whatever, they don't have to censor you. They'll just find a way to not include you. And KSCO is kind of the opposite extreme where you've got something where, you know, you have a signal that's blasting out over the state, but yet you just call the phone and on you go. You know? I mean, how cool is that?
It's pretty cool, I must admit. Hey, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Evergreen. Hi, Evergreen. Welcome to KSCO.
Never give up your guns because when there's a crime or something or an attack that happens on people, the police are minutes away. You know,
and right.
When you need to defend yourself in seconds or somebody that you love,
there's no time to call 911, right?
Right, right. Sometimes.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for putting on Alex Jones.
You were one of the first real dramatic examples of someone who really appreciated Alex Jones.
Oh, I really appreciated Alex Jones.
Yeah, and so both of you guys know each other?
No.
Yeah, Anthony, this is Evergreen.
Hello, Evergreen.
This is Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, nice to talk with you. I just remember when I first I've turned on the radio that first day and I expected to hear Bill O'Reilly droning on and on, and I've heard Alex Jones instead. I literally thought that I was having a pleasant dream where Alex Jones was on KSCO, and when I woke up and realized that in fact Alex Jones was on KSCO, I actually ran out and wrote a check to KSCO and brought it down because I just felt like we got to continue, we got to make this work.
Evergreen handed me a $100 bill. I'd never met him in my life. I was walking out of the radio station. I've told this story many times before. And the owner of Talkers Magazine, who was that's the Bible of the talk radio industry, said to me, he was talking to me on the phone this week, and he says, "Is that story true about you walking out of the building and some stranger approached you and handed you a $100 bill and said, that's for putting Alex Jones on the radio?" I said, "It's absolutely true." And the man who's on the other end of the phone was the guy. And that's how I met Evergreen.
You know what's really funny, too? It was really a nice thing that happened for me. Remember when Alex Jones came to town, we arranged all that? And,
yeah,
I was there.
He was doing his program on Monday morning.
Yes.
Well, he sent me out on one of the commercial breaks. He came out, and he sent me out for a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went and got him, and I'm on the way back. I got a traffic ticket for running a stop sign because I was so, you know, lost in reverie.
That's so funny.
So I got a ticket, and Alec heard about it, and he felt really bad, and he gave me $100.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's something.
Ticket. Yeah, it was great. I mean, there's a real magic there that's happening with that passion and his love and helping people to stay strong.
Fearlessness. That's what Alex Jones.
I really appreciate that you have him on twice a day because sometimes I miss a nuance here and there.
Well, Charlie Friedman is beside himself.
I love it. I will listen to KSCO.
He does not care for Alex Jones or the tinfoil hat gang that
that's
he talks
me.
About.
Hello, I'll put it on now. Yeah, I love it how I listen to Charlie's program, which I enjoy, and I like his music. And I always love how he just always finds a way to not, you know, announce the next program if it's Alex Jones. It's like he'll say, "Coming up next is the news." And it's like, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a little piece of, you know, dog dew on the end of his nose or something that before he could ever say, you know, "Here comes Alex Jones," you know.
Are we the only people who like Alex Jones, or are there other people out there?
Everybody likes
Alex Jones.
I think, you know, my friend Glenn Fisher was the person who told me that I really need to replace Bill O'Reilly with Alex Jones. And I said, "Are you nuts? They're two totally different people." He says, "That's what's so cool about it. You'll find that Alex Jones will play very well to the hard left and the hard right. The people in between are scared to death about what Alex Jones
said." Well, it's
said.
That normalcy bias. You know, I mean, people have that tendency that you hear an outrageous story, and then the first reaction is say, "Well, that can't be true." And you get a guy like Alex Jones where he might speak in kind of hyperbole, maybe use a tone or expressions that kind of put people off in that way. But yet, if you check out, I had the experience of saying, "Well, I'm kind of skeptical. That just sounds too crazy." And then I kind of did a little bit of hard research, and you start finding the news stories, and you find out almost everything he says will, in fact, check out if you look. And that's what kind of empowered me to feel when I'm discussing it with
people.
And
now
you have
a place to look. It's called the Internet.
Absolutely. And what I find is
now,
amazing.
You can't necessarily believe everything that you read
of course,
on the Internet, right?
Like, or in
how
a book.
How do you decide? How do you know?
Well, I think multiple sources. I think if you investigate the sources themselves and you look for their editorial bias and you cross-reference your sources and look for sources that are vetted and confident that can corroborate what you're looking at, that tends to because, I mean, that's an old story where you try to tell somebody something and then they just accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist. And it's so convenient because it's almost as if to say this term conspiracy theorist could have been invented by a PR firm for the sole purpose of marginalizing people who are witnesses to extraordinary events.
Hey, listen, Evergreen, stay on for a little while, will you?
Okay.
Let's talk to Craig in Boulder Creek and then Michael in San Jose. Craig, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, well, the Founding Fathers had a good idea about why the people who are the government should keep and bear arms. The main thing is it helps put enough nervousness into the bureaucratic mafia that they don't run completely hog wild. And in which case, everybody would have to go up and down the streets going, "Sieg Heil, comrades."
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun at all.
No.
And I don't look good in red.
As handsome as those soldiers are, too, they have other duties to do that are more important, I suspect.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Craig in Boulder Creek, thank you very much for adding to the to the KSCO Saturday special. Appreciate it. Next caller, Michael San Jose. You are on the air, Michael, on KSCO. Welcome.
Hey there, MC.
Hey.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for keeping Alex Jones on. I think he's the greatest voice in talk radio at the moment. I know there's a lot of people out there who don't want to believe it, but you know, everything that he says, I research it and then some, and the research you do uncovers other things. And but a lot of people don't want to believe it because it's true, whether it's New World Order,
the truth,
or Agenda
hurts.
21. Yeah,
you know what,
Agenda
I like
21.
Yeah, what you were going to say, Evergreen?
You know what I like about Alex Jones is he has such interesting guests, and they come at a lot of these different elements from another angle, which helps to kind of weave the picture together. And he's real good at putting the puzzle pieces together and having people see the big picture.
Right.
Well, and he also has people from different people who would never be on the mainstream media to, all in one show or from one day to the next. I mean, you've got Richard Belzer or Bob Chapman, who I guess now deceased.
Bob Chapman is deceased.
Yeah, he's passed away.
A month ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad. Well, exactly. Thank you.
Well, don't you think MZ? Don't you think? And part of the problem with the guy with the message that Alex Jones has is that a lot of people out there, they've been playing by the rules their whole life and they've believed in it, and it's what he's telling you is basically like, oh, by the way, your dad's a serial killer, and they go, no, he's not. He bounced me on his knee and he took me to the boardwalk, and then you go, no, here are the pictures, and they go, no, those can't be real, and then you go, no, here's a picture of him doing it, here's a movie of him doing it, and then they go, no, that's not him, or it's like,
yeah.
You just don't, because you think, okay, one thing leads to another, and you say, okay, well, if that's true, then why would they lie about that unless they're covering up this? And then you go from thing to thing, and it gets to where you start going, well, if all these laws that were, say, for example, the gun control laws formulated on the basis of these assassinations in the 60s, and if it ends up that a lot of these assassinations in the 60s were done by people within the government for whatever reason, then you start wondering, well, then what's the, if these crimes that are the justification for the laws are in fact perpetrated for the purpose of creating the laws, it gets very sticky because we've been living with this stuff for years. I mean, if they found out that the IRS was unconstitutional, what are they going to do? Give back all the money they ever collected with penalties?
That would be the right thing.
You know what I'm saying? But yet it's like it becomes this MO where you can say, well, all we have to do is keep it under wraps long enough and it becomes a moot point whether we did it or not. You know, I mean, look at the Mossadegh.
Yeah, I heard an interesting New Jersey saying, make a law, create a business.
Yeah, and the difference.
Oh my God! Look at how the calls are lining up now. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So,
this is important to keep them on, Michael.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, hey,
it's public service.
Did you get an idea that they were thinking of pulling the plug on Alex? My God.
Well, no.
A lot of people want us to pull the plug on Rush and put Alex in there. But we don't want to do. We want to present something for everyone. What did you say?
Oh, I was thinking put Rush on 1340.
Put Rush on.
I love that slogan of yours, Michael. Finally, a voice for everyone. I appreciate that so much that you have those crazy liberals that I can't stand listening to.
Amen.
Well, the liberals do not want a voice for anyone but themselves.
Well, some might consider me kind of liberal.
Are you sort of a liberal?
I'm sort of a liberal in the traditional sense, in the same way that I'm a conservative in the traditional sense. You know, I mean, I'm a liberal in as much as, like, I don't want a homeless inventor who's making a human-powered helicopter, I don't want his notes to get burned because he doesn't have, clean pair of socks and a valid ID.
Oh, I see.
And that makes me a liberal, you know?
Speaking of Alex, here's Alex. Thank you, Michael. Okay, Alex, you're on KSCO.
Hey, I love your guys' station. I just saw one of your bumper stickers on a Volkswagen TDI.
Oh, come and get your own here. And if you put it on, you get a free drink that's worth $2 of pollen burst.
It's delicious.
I got my filled with the tangy tangerine.
Oh yeah, Beyond Tangy Tangerine. You have your choice of Beyond Tangy Tangerine. By the way, if you want a free book, a free K's commentary book that she will inscribe. You don't have to pay anything. All you got to do is go to KSCOteam. We're going to be down here till 12 noon, maybe 12:15. Okay.
I wanted to just comment on what Evergreen was saying. I think he was the one saying that it's funny. It's not like the radical left or the radical right, or it seems like you know, I've been listening to Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and these people that bring up stuff like he was saying, like, yeah, your dad's a murderer or something. But it seems like both sides of the fence, like, aren't willing to really look at some of these issues.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. It's cool because it kind of brings up these subjects that...
I'm always willing to consider and extend courtesies and respect to all points of view.
That's what's
great. Well, I love that about you, Michael. You called me an anti-Semite on an email because I was talking to you about Zionism. Yeah, you really kind of you kind of scared me off. We were talking for a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think I sort of remember that. Well, I have to apologize to everybody, even wrongfully accused anti-Semites.
I'll bring in the secret hair for you.
All right, now I don't want everybody to think that just by coming to KSCO you get a free K's commentary book. But here's how you do it, okay? Here's how you get a free book, and we're going to do this all during the month of September, okay? Listen carefully. To those of you who don't have a computer and an internet connection, sorry, you need a computer and an internet connection. And if you don't have one, go to your neighbor or go to your son or go to your, you know, relative or somebody who does, because everybody's got someone who's got a computer and an internet connection. Go to KSCO Team, all one word, KSCOteam.com, and sign up. Join as a distributor. Doesn't mean you have to do anything except you're going to pay $10 one-time fee and sign up for an Alex pack, okay? There's a commercial that says get on AutoShip. You should get on AutoShip because it's good for you, okay, and you'll save shipping. But if you don't, if you just do it once, if you just get on and by the way, it's either on the KSCO Team, it's not called Alex Pack, it's called the Healthy Start Pack, which is the same thing. It's it's a quart of OsteoFX Plus, it's a bottle of EFA Plus, and it's a canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine. All three of those items together, if you take them every day, you're gonna be healthy, and you're not gonna get sick.
I can tell you, I know for me, I was going to the doctor all the time for all these little silly issues,
yeah.
and I didn't tell him, and now I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but uh-huh. I didn't take all these awful drugs that they were giving me. I just kind of found a reason to just forget, uh-huh. But I kept hitting that Dr. Wallach real hard, and he kept giving me these progress reports about how great I was doing, even though, unbeknownst to him, I was, you know, tossing the statins and taking the vitamin D and the uh-huh. Tangy, you know?
Yeah, statins are just the worst scam ever perpetrated on humanity, I think. But don't get me started there, Alex, the former never true anti-Semite. Thank you for your call to the Saturday special.
Can I give a shout out real quick?
Yeah.
The tannery, they have a new phase of their construction. It's right on Highway 9.
Yeah.
Doing First Fridays.
Yep.
So if anybody has nothing to do on the first Friday of the month, come down. There's a whole bunch of different artist studios, photographers, painters.
Yeah, I actually went there once. I didn't go yesterday, but I did that. I went 2 or 3 months ago. Yeah, you're right. It's a very, very nice place
Rebecca's Cafe just opened up, so they're serving coffee and espresso and I think wine and stuff in the evening. And right now, people go down there just on a random day. There's really not as much stuff going on, but people are getting set up and the cafe's open, so please come down and check it out and support your local artists.
Great. Okay. Thank you for calling, Alex. Here's Gordy in Boulder Creek, and then we're going to have David in San Francisco. And then we've got open lines at 479-1080, so call. Go ahead, Gordy.
Hi, MV.
Hi.
Evergreen, if you're still there.
He still is.
Yeah. Yeah, Gordy, hey, how are you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing okay, maintaining up here. Evergreen came up here for a couple of days and helped me out with firewood. But I want to put a plug in for your mother, MZ.
Oh, please.
Jan and I went down there a couple weeks ago. My mom had a birthday on the first. I bought her, my mom, that book. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Kay for probably a half an hour, and it was a real good conversation. That's the first time I've had any chance to speak with her at length. So I gave the book, the autographed book, to my mom for her birthday, and she was just tickled pink about that. She's 92 years old, so she can relate to Kay.
Fantastic.
I suggest that.
Now that's unusual, because very few people can relate to Kay.
I suggest that people think about that. You know, if you've got a, you know, an older parent out there, that it makes a wonderful birthday, you know, present, you know, for them. Plus, it's a good read. Jan bought one. I bought one. We're all very happy with the read. In respect,
I bought two.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great. Yeah, so I want to really push that, folks.
Thank you, Gordy. I appreciate that. And Evergreen also.
The other
MC, I want to MC.
Yeah, hello? Go ahead.
I have a quick idea for you. Maybe you can create some bumper sticker envy by a license plate call-in kind of contest.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We are going to do that. We haven't announced that yet. We just said, all right, I might as well announce it. Yeah, there's a good reason besides, you know, introducing more people to KSCO, to have a KSCO, listen and be heard bumper sticker. And that is, starting this fall, we are going to be, calling, you know, license plate numbers in cars that we see that have bumper stickers from KSCO. If you don't have a KSCO bumper sticker, you're not going to be eligible for some of these contests. We're going to be giving away stuff that's pretty good. I mean, you know, so, yeah, so that's yet another reason.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to create bumper sticker frenzy?
Yeah, why not? I'm astounded at how many people there are who haven't heard of us just because we haven't given them a reason, or they don't happen to know anybody who raves about KSCO. There's a whole world of people. Yesterday, I just put the finishing touches on an ad for the student guide. Every year for the last 21 years, I've figured, oh my God, I got to do an ad for the student guide to tell UCSC and Cabrillo students that this is a great medium for them to tune into. This is talk
right.
Radio is really, if you think about it, it's the original social medium. It really is.
And so we
want people to become, we want young people to become addicted to this social medium
fantastic.
In the same way that they've become addicted to Facebook and Twitter, and participate. And we want to have some young people hosts on this station. And that's why, we got to do whatever we can to get the word out to people that don't know. And so we got to have as many bumper stickers out there as possible. I had 2,800 of them made up, or 27, something like that. And
I got mine.
They're probably half gone by now. I want to have 127,000 made up.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be
great. Because we're not limited to our coverage area, which is basically a third of California. Over the air, you know, you got the internet, and more and
sure.
more people are listening to radio through their smartphones.
And don't you think, in a way, I was going to say KSC is almost like a Sun Tzu's Art of War, where you turn weakness into strength. You know, you have its analog, old-fashioned technology, but its strength is the fact that it goes out so strong to so many people at once. It's not diluted by that kind of Twitter effect. It's magnified by its old-fashionedness in a weird kind of way.
Ooh, I like that.
Like a book. Like Alex putting out that magazine now, and it's like, you know, you can burn a magazine, but you can't digitally eliminate a magazine with software.
That's
you know?
Right. So it's good to have old technology and new technology. Now, poor Gordy has been trying to say something for 3 minutes, so go ahead and say it, Gordy.
Well, you brought up the subject of guns being taken away by the government.
Oh, yes.
I want to point out to everybody out there that that's what the British tried to do to us once upon a time. That was what Paul Revere's ride was all about. That was what the fight at Boston was all about. With an overwhelming army, we won because we would not allow them to take our guns away. And we were facing that same situation continually, where some government entity wants to take away our guns. Don't do it, because anybody that would take away your weapons is your enemy. No matter how slick they are and throwing the angle at you, they want to suppress you. They
it's
want
for your
to
protection.
Control. It's for your protection, mainly against your own government.
You know what would be really funny? If somebody clever person out there created like a parody, and they could have the Revolutionary War or Star Wars or something presented from the Empire's perspective, where it could be the heroic story of a valiant stormtrooper as he protects the Empire from chaos and, you know, randomness and individuality, you know. Protecting the British Empire from the horrible American colonists and their terrorism, you know.
Well, you don't have to be a stormtrooper to want to keep and bear arms. It's especially for the weak and the defenseless. That's what makes us equal to our government. is having the same amount of power as they have.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know that I just recently was traveling and helping some people in some legal cases, and it's interesting to me because I'm a real kind of clear-eyed kind of guy, and I don't need a gun to defend myself. And I find it's amazing to me how often these people that are in these positions of authorities, when you look at them and you're dressed as well or better than they are and you have a clear look at them, and they look like a bunch of sacks of dirty laundry that just rolled out of a coke orgy.
They do look like a sack of dirty laundry that just rolled out of a coke orgy.
All right, don't talk about people like that.
I mean, I'm not saying that because I'm mean. I'm saying that because I was shocked. I was expecting them to at least have a clean shirt on.
They're just afraid.
Yeah, they were very terrified, and I know that when I make an appearance, they get afraid. It's strange.
We have so many callers who want to get on. Okay, Gordy, thank you so much for your call to the Saturday special. There goes Gordy. Here's David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, MZ, and your guest. You know, I tuned in a little bit late, but I was spurred to call because of you were talking about the kind of commonality of people who seem to be bringing down the country. And just to go back to 1776, the Tories never really quit. There were a lot of very wealthy Tories that stayed behind and have done their best to reinvest in America. And then with their investments in America, they've tried to recolonize us. And there were, you know, if you go to the $10 bill, that's Alexander Hamilton, and he was the one that was, as the first Treasury Secretary in America, he was the one that was borrowing money from Britain, essentially, to run America, to get us trapped in the British pound and to be relative to British imperialism. And so the idea of whether it was the War of 1812 or the war between the states, a lot of people don't realize that the British were the ones that financed the Confederacy. They were trying to split up America, and when they when Lincoln figured it out and considered embargoes against England, they backed off, but they left the Klan behind. And the Klan are basically the continuation of the Tories, doing their best to keep this aristocratic notion that there's somebody, you know, a sort of a master race who are better than the common man. And they're
We all know that's not true.
Well, but see, that's the whole point. And it's kind of interesting. You know, if you go, I always look at it as this strange triumvirate of the Tories, the Klan, and the Nazis. You can see the merger of the Klan and Nazis since the 50s.
Why don't you say Nazis like the rest of us?
Because I don't want to give them that much respect.
I see.
But just to wrap it up, though, I don't know if you're keeping up with the LIBOR scandal, but this is basically proof that these international bankers have conspired to essentially create a fake set of standards to diminish the democracy. Right. And LIBOR is the London Interbank Offering Rate. And it's now been proven that the 18 largest banks in the world have been setting fake standards to set interest rates for the world. And they've declared that Greece is bankrupt. They've declared that Italy and Spain are bankrupt. They're declaring through the Ryan budget that Social Security and Medicaid are bankrupt, or that we don't need libraries, that the school systems are bankrupt. These are all based on LIBOR numbers. And
David, we're going to have to do a separate program on that. This could go on forever. We got so many other callers. Sure. We even have a commercial break that we have to do before the end of the program, which is only 12 minutes from now. So I want to thank you for calling.
Yeah,
thank you very much for calling. Here comes Patrick in Salinas. Patrick, you're on the air on KSEO.
Yes, the best radio station, KSEO. Alex Jones, he's not even in his prime, like Tombstone. He is yet to reach his stride. You should probably put him
I actually agree with you, although I've never seen someone who was so prolific.
You should put him on the main station.
The main station, but
well, I know, but not on KSCO in the morning.
I'd love to see Alex Jones getting. I always wondered as a KSCO listener why I've never yet heard a produced blurb promoting him, like, not because, I mean, he promotes the station because he's so popular, but what about where you have a blurb like, listen to Alex Jones at this time? Yeah, because I've never heard that. I almost feel like, well, what is this, like a love-hate relationship?
No,
why don't you promote him?
No, we, you know, I think the world of Alex.
Let's make him a superstar, you know?
All right, well.
Now, you can listen to his heart, and you can tell he's a great man. And gun control, switch the words around. Control guns. They've been chipping away at every one of our rights that cannot be alienated from us because God gave them to us. Bumper sticker, gun control is using both hands.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a good thing. By the way, coming up after this program is Perspectives, starring the lovely and talented Tom Quinn and Donald Davidson. So anyhow, and special guests. Patrick and Salinas, thanks so much for your call to the Saturday special. Saint and Hollister, it's your turn. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's good pre-afternoon.
Yes, but it's a beautiful day.
You're
but
absolutely
my
right.
My comment on the guns were the first thing when the fascists or Nazis or whatever you want to call them, came to power in Germany, the first thing they did was outlaw all guns for the citizenry. So they couldn't resist. There could be no armed resistance. And, of course, the people were compliant, and they gave up their guns. And we know what happened in Germany.
You know, I was only kidding when I said, is there anybody out there who says...
See what you just started?
People took me seriously. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, of course you don't give up your... I mean, is there anybody who...
Hey. They wouldn't have guns if they were going to give them up. They would have never gotten them in the first place.
God.
Even Elmer Fudd has a shotgun.
And it shoots 1,000 rounds.
That wascally wabbit.
Our president right now wants us to give up all our guns.
Oh.
He and his party.
I'll give them up when they give them up.
I want to play something that was emailed to me by Andy Anderson today. But hey, Rick, do we have a commercial break or is it all PSAs? It's all PSA. Was something we have to do or not? Okay, he's shaking his head. Good. So we don't have to do that. I'm going to play this thing. You'll love this, honey. You didn't build that. It's a YouTube video that my friend Andy sent me. And I'm going to see if I can get it to play right now here on the air. Let's see, computer A.
Mom, Dad, I'm home. In here, honey.
Well, hey, Pumpkin, what do you got there?
Mommy, Daddy, look what I built.
It's a replica of the Washington Monument.
They're
That's
nodding.
Great, honey. Good job. There.
And it's made of popsicle sticks.
But you didn't build that.
But, Dad, I really did. I wrote the report and everything.
I think I know where your father's going with this. Did you make those popsicle sticks?
Oh, no.
Did you personally cut down the trees to make those sticks?
No.
And didn't you make that in school?
Yes.
And you didn't make the school or the roads that go up to the school.
Of course not.
And honey, no one ever really builds anything.
You know, that's right. As a matter of fact, without Mommy and Daddy bringing you into the world, your molecules and atoms would just be scattered randomly throughout the universe.
It's just science.
What grade did the teacher give you?
An A+.
Did all the students get an A+?
No, some got B's and C's. And Billy got an F.
Well, honey, that's not fair that you got an A and some people got Fs.
Tomorrow morning, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call your teacher, and I'm going to tell her that we need to take some of your A+ and give it to the other students so that you have a C and everyone else has the same grade. Honey, it's only fair.
Mom, I worked really hard.
I know you worked really hard, and I know you're really smart, but there are a lot of smart kids out there.
Well, that's true.
She threw it down and she's stamping on it and wrecking it.
Being a parent is hard.
Yes, but it's important to destroy their sense of individualism while they're still young.
Anyhow, yeah, it's called Honey, You Didn't Build That, and it's a YouTube video. If you want to see it, you know, it was great, just the audio, but it's even a little better with the video when you see the expressions on the parents' faces. So just log on to YouTube.com, and then on the search, just write, "Honey, you didn't build that," and that video will come right. Oh, what is this? What is this? You know, Dirty Harry, do you feel lucky, punk? Well, just because I like Clint Eastwood so much and there's nothing else to do here. Well, we could hear from Don and Salinas. Wait a minute. I want to skip the ad. Here, let's do this. Yeah. Dirty Harry, do you feel lucky, punk? Yeah, this is from the original Dirty Harry. Yep, okay, so he sees a robbery in place here, in progress. Still chewing his food.
His vegan hot dog.
Yeah. And now he's walking across the street past the car that's on it's tilted on its side. And the fire hydrant is spewing water high into the sky. I mean, everybody's seen this, right? It's so cool to hear it on the radio, though.
Huh? I like the one that was filmed at Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah, Sudden Impact, yeah. Okay, so he's walking down the street here with his gun. And, okay, now there's the guy lying. And he's looking, his hand, his arm is close to a shotgun.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Oh, my God. He's pointing the gun right at the black man's face. Now he picks up the shotgun. And the black man says,
"Hey, I got to know."
He got to know how many, you know. So he points the gun at his face here and gets ready to pull the trigger. And the guy's, he pulls the trigger and nothing happened.
I guess he wasn't confused after all.
Yeah, so Dirty Harry. All right, so much for that. Don and Salinas, did you get the message to call Rosie yesterday? She did. Okay, I have his phone number. It's right here on the caller ID. Do you have it now, Rosie? Okay, good. Don and Salinas, you're the last caller today.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I wanted to let on gun control. Winston Churchill had a great quote on that. He said that a gentleman quite rarely, if ever, needs the use of a gun. But when he does, he needs it very badly.
Yeah.
Winston Churchill.
And the thing on Clint Eastwood, I think history's going to judge Clint Eastwood as a master tactician. While the liberals were all watching and critiquing his old man clothes and hair and habits, he was subliminally delivering a great message. And you hearing it on the radio really brings that home. You don't hear a stumbling, bumbling old man. you hear a very clear, concise message on what's happening.
Yeah, we played the audio at least two or three times here on KSCO.
Don't you think it kind of spooks him, though, because the guy was so extemporaneous and he was just so on target without having this agenda kind of shoved down his throat? That's what really scares him. You know, they want everything to be on message with the agenda every single second, every single time. You know, he's a
well, Eastwood purposely affected his image on that podium because he knew that the liberals would go for the low-hanging fruit
sure.
to attack him with.
And what has he got to lose?
And they didn't... What's
you know,
that?
What has he got to lose? I mean, Eastwood's made. He's a, you know, a pillar of the community. He's in his, you know, senior years. What can they do to him?
Yeah, well, it you know, talk about scary smart at 82 years old. The guy's a master tactician. And
great
that's
guy
pretty
too.
Much it.
Yeah, I bumped Thanks. Into him on the job once. He's a really good guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've met him exactly twice, and I'd love to meet him. I'd love to have him on the Saturdays.
I'm sure he would. You know what? You just call him up. I imagine he'd probably make time.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All righty. Well,
he talked to the Carmel Pinecone.
Sure. Okay. Great. Well, listen, thank you, Don and Salinas, and thank you, Evergreen. Thank you,
Blessings
Anthony.
To you, my friend.
And thank you all Blessings of the KSCO.
My pleasure, Izzy.
Thank you all of the KSCO listeners for listening to this program. And
Blessings on all of you.
Okay, so here's the That's All, folks.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon here at CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's underway in earnest. The presidential campaign. Republican challenger Mitt Romney in Virginia.
For every net new job that was created last month, why, four people dropped out of the workforce. So this is not the kind of news that the American people were hoping for and deserved. But I'm here to tell you that things are about to get a lot better.
President Obama in another battleground state.
I'm Peter Mayer in St. Petersburg, Florida. Both campaigns are quickly concluding. This is a turnout election, a race to motivate core supporters to vote. That's what's motivating this Obama message.
By the way, Florida, you should know I will never turn Medicare into a voucher system. No American should have to spend their golden years at the mercy of insurance companies.
The president's on a two-day bus tour aimed at winning Florida's 29 electoral votes. Peter Mayer, CBS News, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Unusual weather in the Big Apple, New York City. Tornado confirmed in Queens, not far from the beach at Breezy Point Surf Club. Event manager Caitlin Walsh.
I'm Peter Mayer.
He took off roofs off the cabanas and broke windows around the club. It knocked down brick walls by our pool.
Wicked weather delaying started the men's semifinals at the U.S. Open today, postponing the women's finals until tomorrow. Could it have been a tornado in Oklahoma? Authorities say a couple and their grandchild had no time to reach a shelter. Winds from a severe thunderstorm flinging their mobile home into a creek in northeast Oklahoma. All of them died.
The winds basically picked up the mobile home and carried it about 100 feet and dumped it into a ravine that was filled with water.
That's Sheriff Deputy Rick Harper, National Weather Service, investigating whether it was a twister there. Residents of Bermuda bracing themselves. Tropical Storm Leslie moving slowly towards the north today. Forecasters expect it will regain strength and become a hurricane before passing to the east Sunday afternoon or evening as a Category 1. Your tax dollars at work, or rather at waste. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkison reporting on the efforts of one fiscal conservative senator trying to root out Pentagon waste.
You might be surprised that your military tax dollars have funded a workshop about aliens from Star Trek entitled Did Jesus Die for Klingons Too? That's just one of the questionable projects that's under the microscope as Senator Tom Coburn puts together a report taking his red pen to cuts that he sees as no-brainers.
How'd you like to get $1,000 for every year you have worked where you work? That's how a Michigan car dealership owner is thanking his employees before retiring and selling the dealership. General Manager George Davis says 83-year-old Howard Cooper, the Howard Cooper Import Center in Ann Arbor, has great respect for his workers, and it goes both ways.
I know we have a parts driver that's been here 28 years, and he's at an income level where this is like the lottery.
$1,000 for every year. This is CBS News.
Did you know that certain gold and silver coins can be added to your retirement accounts? It's a fact. For years, investors have been adding popular coins like the gold and silver American Eagles to their IRAs and old 401ks. More importantly, gold and silver have quadrupled in value within the past 10 years. Major banks and credible analysts around the world are forecasting even more demand for both gold and silver in the coming years. Isn't it about time for you to consider adding gold to your retirement accounts? When it comes to adding physical metals to your retirement accounts, no one makes it easier and faster than American Bullion. Call now for your free gold guide at 800-664-8864. Find out how to add U.S. minted gold and silver coins to your IRA and old 401k. Call the most trusted name in the industry today, American Bullion. 800-664-8864. Call for your free gold guide. 800-664-8864.
Marseille, where drugs and violence rule.
So far this year, 20 people have been killed in a brutal turf war over Marseille's lucrative drug trade. Local businessman Mohamed Ziani grew up in the poor northern parts of the city. He says it's changed a lot.
Right now in Marseille, it's like Chicago in 1930. Gangs, violence, drugs.
For American-style violence, local policeman Kamel Bassa would like to see an American-style solution.
Zero tolerance, like in New York. More police on the street.
The government is descending. And 200 more police. Most people here say that's not enough. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Marseille.
Baltimore Ravens fans lining up by the hundreds this morning to pay respects to Art Modell, the man who moved the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore. The American flag-draped casket at the 50-yard line of the M&T Bank Stadium. Fans, almost all of them wearing Ravens jerseys, greeted by Modell's sons. He died Thursday at 87, his funeral Tuesday, one day after the team opens its season against Cincinnati on Monday night. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
12:05 on this Saturday afternoon, September the 8th. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic update. Southbound 17, seeing some heavy brake lights right around the 85 connection from Campbell to Los Gatos will be slow. Continuing into the Fishhook, slow traffic on southbound 1 right off of Highway 17, it'll be slow through Park Avenue. Heading around the Monterey Bay, again, slow traffic. Highway 1 southbound just before Salinas Road from about Highway 129. Westbound 68, really slow at Toro Park and San Bonancio Road. Highway 1 northbound, Reservation Road, close to County Route G17. Couple of loose animals on the right-hand side. Look to be deer. No further descriptions available, though. And the 5300 block of Bolsa Road, there was a report of a small grass fire. Vehicles and emergency crews are on the right-hand side.